This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream?
Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't. But keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood. Always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Hi, welcome to Hollywood Connections, and I am Dawn Reese, and Yvonne Madison is my co-host. Say hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Tantalk Radio 106.1 FM.
On your Honda Drive. 1340 AM and all the rest of them.
And 104.3 FM. And also, we actually have a VIP guest. I am super excited to have Butch Patrick on the phone with us and taking time out of his busy schedule. And you're on the air. Butch, are you there?
I am here. Hello, girls.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, we have an interloper.
Yes. We are here in the station.
One male here.
Yes, and three ladies. So this...
Oh, I am so sorry. Hello.
How are you, Butch?
Hey, Butch.
Hey, buddy.
So Butch Patrick, of course, is from the Munsters. We're going to be playing that Munsters song as well. And I had met you over at the Comic-Con, and you took some time out for a really good interview. And, you know, we were talking back. You know, I do have a question, Butch. Do you remember your first audition for the Munsters, how you ended up, you know, going through that open door of audition?
Yes, of course.
Can you tell us about it?
Oh, okay, yeah. I wasn't even in Hollywood during the film, the casting process. They had already cast a guy named Happy Durman, and they were green-lighted to go to series, and at the last minute they decided to bring in Yvonne DiCarlo and change the name of the mother from Phoebe to Lily, and then Joan Marshall was let go, and at the same time, Happy Durman, they decided to recast the Eddie character, and I was living in Illinois. And my agent got wind of this and told them that they said, we've looked at everybody in Hollywood. She goes, that's the key mistake. He's not in Hollywood. He's in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So they flew me out from Illinois, and I went directly to the studio from the airport for a screen test. Didn't even really do the interview process. Jumped right over that into the suit in front of the camera, tested with Yvonne DiCarlo, and never went home.
Mm. What were you, about 35 then?
Yeah. They used to call me a 39-year-old midget. I was so adult-like. I was actually 11. I looked 8 or 9. I was actually 11, but I acted like 35.
So what did you do before you got the part? What other shows were you on?
I started off in 1961. I did a year of General Hospital, the first year it was on the air.
Oh, okay.
Wow. For that, and then did a year of The Real McCoys in 63. And then around the 3 years prior to that, during 61 to 64, before the Munsters, a lot of guest starring roles and various stuff.
Oh, you know, we actually have a lady here. Her name is Ingrid, and her husband's an actor. And they're putting together a General Hospital Holiday Heat Day, and that's going to be December 10th. And since you're on General Hospital, are you going to be in the area in, you know, around Clearwater, around December 10th?
I don't know. It's possible. I'm not sure, honestly. I'd have to look at my schedule. I know that. No, in fact, I know I'm not. I'm going to be in South Florida, down in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Oh, that night. So you wouldn't be able to be.
No, unfortunately.
No. Oh, okay. Well, do you keep up with General Hospital at all anymore? I mean,
no,
as far as.
I was just a kid that was working, you know, his first role. And Dr. Hardy's girlfriend's son. I'm Katie's little boy. I don't even
Dr. know my Hardy. God, that's an old. Oh, you're going back away.
Well, and I'm looking at your website. You've got, you know, butchpatrick.com. And your website is fabulous. There's so much to ask you. So people can book you for different events and corporate events, I'm noticing, as well.
Yeah, you say you're looking at butchpatrick.com or munsters.com?
Well, they're munsters.com I had before. So
the
munsters.com is like your website.
Right. Yeah, that's the one that everybody goes to. That's where it's got the store and the merch and the scheduling and the bios on everybody, and it's very, very interactive. And then from there, you can go to the official Munsters fan group, which is now, we just crossed 10,000 members last week, and it's growing by leaps and bounds on a daily basis.
Amazing. You know, I was talking to you back in the days when I first met you, you know, back in the days. Here's the Monsters website. There we go.
Oh,
Monsters.com. Mm-hmm. My favorite game in Vegas is the Monsters. I don't know if you've ever played that. It
oh,
is so
no,
good.
I've never
funny
been to
thing
Vegas.
About that Monsters game, it was the first test. It was a test game for IGT, International Gaming Technologies, to try to enter. They wanted to see if a TV show game would actually, if the fans of the show would draw them to the game. Stimulate the business, and it turned out to be the most successful game they ever put together.
Oh,
they
that's
just
great.
Phased them out recently.
And you know something, Butch?
Yep.
I'm Kenny here. I play mobsters and stuff like that. But anyway, I have your films taped. I have about 150 films taped. You know, I have cable TV, and it's on one of the MeTVs or whatever the case may be. I just was watching you last night. I mean, I go home and I watch at least one Monsters film every evening.
Wow.
Yeah, because I have more filmed. I have more filmed, you know, on that, what is it, DVD? What
no,
do they call
it's
it? DVR?
It's still, well, he has it on that, but also on the, we have a whole bunch of them taped on the old VHS.
Okay, is this the 50th anniversary?
Yes.
For the Mumpsters?
She's looking at your website.
Oh, really?
The 50th anniversary Kid and the Tribute Cars Tour. Tell us about that.
Yes.
Well, about six years ago, I was doing an appearance at Halloween up in Virginia at a haunted attraction. The gentleman, they had hired a limousine to drive me around, and it happened to be a really nice Munster Coach remake. It was called the Tribute Car.
So the gentleman
drove up. He was actually made up as Grandpa when he picked me up, and we became friends. Toured around the country, did you know, I would book him, he would book me, and vice versa, and he decided to retire last year, so last March I bought the cars from him, so I then started touring the country with the Munster Coach and Dragula Tribute Cars, and then I picked up the Stingray Bicycle from Von Dutch and George Barris and the original Wolfenstahl, and one thing led to another, so now I've got this, really it's like a traveling roadshow display of Munster memorabilia, from the go-kart to the Stingray to the cars to the big baseball bat to a baby spot hatching out of an egg to, you know, Wolf and a lot of other things.
Boy, sky's the limit, huh?
Mm-hmm. I pretty much got everything I can. I don't think I can cram much more into the trailer now. I'm pretty much at my limit.
Yeah.
You know, one of our friends had passed away. He did actually the Dr. Dan, remember,
yes,
Yvonne?
Yes, I remember him.
He did the Munster's car. Do you remember Dan Dimsky? Does that ring a bell?
Dan, which car did he have? A Munster's car?
It was a Munster's car he put together. My husband's going to ask that question here, and I should know this, but he was one of the Munster's cars that he did, and he built
set.
It.
Yes,
he for
built
the set.
It.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He was one of the, that was really cool. You know, back in the day.
I see a lot of them. It's one of the most popular, iconic cars of all time on television, and anybody that, you know, has ever built hot rods and stuff usually has either a Dragula or a Munster coach in them somewhere, or at one time they've built one.
Right.
Amazing. No, Butch, what are you doing these days now? Do you live in Florida a little bit? I noticed that, you know, someone said that you do live in St. Petersburg area sometimes.
I did years ago, 94, 95, 96, and then occasionally I would come back and forth. Right now I'm in Orlando. My wife, her house is here in Orlando. I bought a house in Missouri, which is basically a haunted house that we're building a television show off the property called Property Horrors.
And we
do a thing where basically we go around. When I bought the house, I wasn't aware it was haunted. My sister brought it to my attention. And I bought it because it used to be Grandma's house, and I lived in it in the eighth grade, and I wanted to save it from the wrecking ball. But one thing led to another. I thought a small town, you know, moving back to a small town would make for an interesting reality show, but the haunted aspect of it wasn't something I was aware of. So now, with that twist, we have Siobhan Avila from Los Angeles, who's a medium and ghost chaser, ghost hunter extraordinaire, and she lives in Bing Crosby's haunted mansion. So one thing led to another, and Kevin Harrington from Shark Tank, who does live in St. Pete, has got together with Fred Jung of Young Jung Entertainment, and we're now producing a show in Sin Development. We're getting ready to pitch it to the networks about her and I going around the country and meeting Facebook friends who have fallen into the same situation of buying a haunted property, and now they have to deal with the ghost issue.
Wow.
Good.
Oh, so we can do a monster too, huh?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. That should happen, Butch. You could make that happen.
It looks very strong. And in the meantime, you know, we travel. We just arrived in Florida last week, a few days ago, to start the winter tour. We'll be doing the Daytona Beach Turkey Run here this weekend. And we'll be around the state all through until March.
Oh, that's a shame you can't make that the event on the 10th. That's Maybe I'll have some of my boys.
We'll be down at Spooky Empire.
Oh, that's okay. Now, see,
since Spooky Empire is the second and third, then we're going with the people from Spooky Empire down to Fort Lauderdale for a booking that we are.
All right, so I'll have some of my boys pick you up in Fort Lauderdale and drag you in here.
Yeah.
That's cool. Now, I'm looking at the cast here with everybody. Do you still keep in touch with them? What are they doing? Can you kind of update their careers?
Are they all still alive?
Well, they're all passed away.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
you know what's funny?
It's nice that I have a haunted medium in the house so I can actually contact them, right?
Yeah, right.
And so you're the only one living?
No, Marilyn is alive, and she lives up in Idaho. She turned 81 years old recently, and she decided to retire from her touring days unless there's something in the Northeast that makes it easier for her to travel. It's a difficult haul for her to come off the mountain and spend all day on the road. So she pretty much is semi-retired.
Oh, they called her Pat Priest.
That is her name.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what's funny, Butch? When I was doing acting for, I did police story, a bit parts and police woman, and you know, certain things, Starsky Hutch, all that little stuff, you know, and commercials in middle 60, late 70s, and my wife and I, we got married in 78, and we go to Van Nuys Boulevard for breakfast one day, and Al Lewis is there.
I think it was a copper. Time out in the valley.
Yeah, it was.
At that time, he was probably driving his big blue. A Lincoln.
Was it the copper penny? I think.
I think it was a copper penny or Big Boys. He was at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was all. He was around. No doubt about it. Yeah. He was out the valley when he was in the West Coast.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, what was your favorite memory maker of the Monsters that you were on set that you'll never forget, and you'll say, "Wow, what a memory maker this was for me." Can you tell us?
The day that Fred Gwynne drove the car off the lot unannounced with everybody in tow.
We were supposed to return
immediately, and he decided to have a little joyride down Lancashire Boulevard. So that was something I remember.
Last night, when I was watching the Monsters, he was doing the driving test.
Oh, yeah, with Charlie Ruggles. Yeah, that was funny.
That was great.
Amazing.
They were all good. There were some that were better than others, but that was one that was I always enjoyed the ones when the car was involved because I thought the car was very cool.
Oh yeah, it was Chuck Barris, right? That built
George
that.
Barris.
Yeah, George Barris, yeah, whatever.
Chuck did the Gong Show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, I met him at Patty's on. Oh God, what was that?
That's on Riverside Drive.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Riverside Drive, because I had a place on Riverside Drive, as a matter of fact.
George's shop was right down there by right next to Lancashire.
It's still going. You want to have lunch there sometime or what?
I was there the other day.
You lived out there back when we lived there. So do you remember a place called Jason's on Riverside Drive?
Are you talking about?
It was just a little bit outside of Toluca Lake.
I
was doing the Munsters, basically, I was 11 or 12 years old, so, you know.
Well, no, I'm talking later, because that was in the 60s.
I would go to Bob's out on Riverside Drive and Patty's.
Which is still there. I was just there in August. It's still the same.
The food is great.
You say Riverside Drive, where are you talking about? Oh, no.
It was right by Burbank.
Because they have a Riverside Drive in New York.
That's a little different.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, also, too, Butch, are you going to be producing this yourself, you know, coming up, maybe, or do you have a production crew? I know people are going to ask me that.
No, the Property Horrors?
Right.
No, that's going to be done by Young Jung Entertainment, which is Kevin Harrington from Shark Tank, the inventor of the infomercial, Fred Jung. And then we'll just be the actors. And I may get a credit on it as a created by and developed by, because it was, you know, kind of like my idea. So we'll see how it goes there. But I'm basically there as talent. And we'll be all over the country. And I'm looking forward to it because I didn't know anything about ghosts myself. In fact, you know, I got married September 10th. And
recently,
congratulations!
Well, thank you very much. I know if we were out in L.A., we could win a refrigerator on the newlywed game.
Oh, right.
Either that or get divorced, right?
No, that's awesome. So, you know, another question. Do you have another question for Butch Patrick?
Yeah, if you need a mobster, I'm right here, Butch.
Okay, if we ever need a mobster, that's good.
I'd have to show you some of my clips, I guess. I don't know how I would do that. I guess we'd have to arrange that somehow, right?
Yeah, that could happen. Well, you know what else, too, is we had a medium on our show a while ago, William.
Yes.
And if you need a medium, I'll hook you up with one.
Oh, he was wonderful, too.
Yeah.
Yes,
he was.
He was
pretty precise and on point.
Mm-hmm.
Which
we pretty much got that covered with Vila and her ghost hunting dog, Tiger. It's a very cute combination. But we are going to utilize other people, and you never know where it goes. Just keep an eye out. It's called Property Horrors, and as it develops and gets on the air, we'll see how things develop, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. Now, Butch, do you read your Twitter, your Facebook, or do you have somebody else reading that? I know people are going to want to know, oh, my God, I'd love to just say hello to him.
Sure. I do. Lila, my wife, is very big on top of that, and I had it going before, but once she's come into the picture, earlier this year, she came on board, and it's like developed from 2,000 memberships to over 10,000 because of the hands-on situation of us interacting with the folks so much. So, yes, to answer your question, I do read it, and I do participate.
Okay, and do you have any books out or anything where people can buy or any?
I got the Munster store. We've got, there is a 50th anniversary book that's been out, and it's really great. We sold out of the hardcover coffin table book, and then now we're into the paperback version. We've got limited edition dolls, we've got t-shirts, we've got coins, we've got keys, you name it. I got a coffee line.
Oh, I see that. The Deadly Ground.
Dragula, Deadly Grounds.
Wow.
Dark Roast. It's very cool stuff, great stuff. And and we're working on all kinds of things. So, yes, keep an eye out on anything that you might like to look at. At the store.
Do you have a sales rep going out with a coffee by chance? Or
we have a what?
Any sales reps, or are you looking for sales reps to do some coffee, sales?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I have some people that might be interested.
Yeah, I do that. I do that, and then the company itself has 12 flavors, and they're out of Connecticut. It's a fledgling, full-on coffee company that they're always looking for, potential sales. You bet.
And you can get all that on the website, and I see, okay, yeah. There's the Eddie hat. Okay, I'm going through everything here of memory land. And also, who is your agent or manager by chance?
We self-manage. It's basically my wife and myself.
You know, that's so cool because, I was talking to somebody from Hercules, last week, Robert Sorbo. And he said to me, he does the same thing. And I think that's great because, a lot of people think they have to have an agent or manager to get, connected or... especially it's who and who knows you.
There is a certain way that does come into play sometimes. I'm not actively pursuing work. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm an actor. I'm more now of a promoter and an event situation and a celebrity, but not the case of living in Hollywood and going on auditions and reading scripts and this and that. I have a lot of independent, different agents who have contacted me, maybe as many as six or seven, who occasionally pop up with something and say, "Hey, would you be interested in doing this?" And of course, without an exclusive, I'm able to do that. But everything pretty much comes across our desk, and we negotiate it, and we deal with it, and we check our schedules, and everything, pretty much the buck stops with us.
Well, also my husband just popped in real quick. He has that answer for you on the car. We're talking about Dan, and say hi to Butch.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick.
Hi, hello.
Hi, Butch. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. So Grandpa Munster's Coffin Racer... what a beautiful machine that was for its time. That was probably probably the finest car or hot rod ever made, I would come to say. I know it has a tremendous following. Can you talk about it?
The Dragula?
Yes, Dragula.
Yeah, it is. It's basically the original is owned by a friend of mine in West Palm Beach now. He purchased it after it came out of Planet Hollywood. When Planet Hollywood went belly up in Atlantic City, the cars bounced around quite a bit, but he wound up with it. Mine is a tribute car, which is from Munster Go Home, which doesn't have the enclosed bubble driver's compartment. We have a roll bar, which Herman could sit in it, and his head would stick up really high. So obviously, the original car is one look, and my car is another look. But the Dragulas are really cool, and they've been made over and over and over the years because anybody who's a car builder that has the capacity to build a tea bucket and can find a coffin can pretty much integrate the two into a ride. But it is a great vehicle, and the Munster Coach and the Dragula as a 1-2 punch on the show was a huge hit for car buffs everywhere and George Barris.
Yes, it was. My friend Dr. Dan, he spoke about how difficult it was to come up with a coffin. He yes. said they went out and tried to buy a coffin, yeah. and they just had such a hard time trying to turn a coffin into a hot rod.
And, yeah, without a dead body, it's funny, without a dead body or a death certificate, apparently you couldn't buy a coffin.
Yeah, that's amazing at that time. But that is, so as far as, did it take a long time for you to get into your costume growing up as a child actor?
Yeah, about an hour a day. The makeup, you know, makeup was about an hour. Costume was a whiz. I could jump into that in no time. But the makeup was about an hour.
Okay. And then how about the set that you grew up, that you worked on? Was that a real house or was that just a set? Or
It was all a set.
Just a set. It was, okay.
It was like in the episode of Zombo when I won a chance to go in to see the studio, and I thought the guy was real, and I'm looking at the set, and I go, "Mom, look, what's wrong with Zombo's house? It's crummy." And then the producer goes, "Eddie, this is television. Nothing's real."
That's funny. 1313
Mockingbird Lane.
Yes. Yes.
Most famous address on Hollywood ever.
Yeah, really.
Absolutely. I remember that so well. Well, you know, the Munsters, that was been a, you know, it's, what, over 50 years old now,
this
I imagine.
This is the anniversary. The 50th
yep,
year.
50th year?
Yes.
Nice.
We have a generation of kids now that are catching it on Netflix and being introduced to it by their parents, and they're loving it as well. So I know it's going to endure for at least another 20 or 30 years for sure.
Or more.
Well, you know, it's good, clean comedy,
yes.
and it's funny, and it is just, you know, it just has everything that you need to be successful.
All the actors were great.
Oh, they were fabulous.
Absolutely.
They were.
Well, Herman, obviously, and
Grandpa and Lily, Marilyn.
Grandpa
and
Lily, Eddie. Yes, and all the Evers.
Well, also,
we had a really good
hold
line
on because
stars,
we want to bring on board Marty. He's a top agent. And stay with us for a second. I think my engineer has some surprises here. He's got your theme song. I think he's going to play that for a minute. And Butch, stay with us. We'll be right there. And I want to bring Marty because Marty's a big fan of yours as well. And do you want to introduce Marty?
Okay. Oh, I love it.
That's great.
Yes.
Great chemistry.
Yeah, I feel like I'm winning in Vegas now when I play that machine. I love that machine. I gotta go there. Okay, Marty, say hi to Butch Patrick.
Hey, Butch, how are you?
Hey, Marty, pleasure.
Hey, I have you on Facebook, and I'm a big fan of yours as well. You know, when I was a kid, they used to taunt me and call me Eddie Munster. But I can't take it.
I hope it was because you had a funny hairline and that you weren't wearing velvet shorts.
Well, Dawn has seen me in person. I do have a vampire-ish werewolf look to me. So, but as a kid, yeah, I had the thick eyebrows and pretty much the features of Eddie Munster. So, but also, I was a big fan of yours on Lidsville. You remember that?
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
that was a show that a lot of people don't remember, but it's funny. At the table, once in a while, I'll get people to come up, and I'll have a monkey's picture out or the Phantom Toll Booth or Lidsville, and they'll say, wow, and a lot of people aren't aware of I did a lot of other work, which is fine. You know, I understand the fact that the Munsters is the most famous role I did, but it's nice to know that other people caught on to some of my other activities.
Well, oh, absolutely. You were part of my Saturday morning child memories with the Lidsville, particularly the Lidsville, because, you know, that was Sid and Marty Croft.
Right.
So.
It was the spookiest and the spookiest.
And by the way, I want to say congratulations. I know you got not so long ago married, so congratulations. And
I am looking at my lovely wife as we speak, and I will pass it along.
Awesome.
Well, wonderful.
Well, also, too, but you're a friend of Lauren Chapin from Father Knows Best. Me and Lauren were on tour together with National American Miss, a big pageant system, and I've known Lauren for years now, and I know she's working on a show that she's really excited about, too. Have you connected with Lauren lately?
I haven't actually seen her in person in a while, but, yeah, whenever I get a chance to see Lauren, we always get along so well. It's like kitten, you know?
Come on. That's right. Yeah. Really exciting.
Father Knows Best was one of my favorite shows, you know?
I know.
We were kind of like Father Knows Best in makeup.
Wow.
Yes.
Also, too, is Marty's an agent, so I need to cook you guys up if you have anything for Butch in the future there, Marty. Because Marty does a lot of things.
I'm also a casting director, Butch, so maybe I'll touch base with you if I got anything good for you in terms of movies or anything like that. So,
like
you
say, it's like riding a bike. You never forget, and as I explained earlier, I just don't go on auditions anymore, but I actually do two or three films a year, usually independent movies for films, the young filmmakers trying to pay it forward or act it forward, and we actually have a company called Scare It Forward where we do horror movies, and we give them away as public domain movies. So, yeah, I am still involved. I just don't go through the normal process of being in Hollywood and, you know, going to auditions. But it doesn't mean
I direct book celebrities, so just keep that in mind. So, definitely. Okay. I'll correspond with you. We'll see what we could do in any future projects I may have.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
See, that was a surprise for you because that's what Hollywood Connections does. They connect people together.
Yes, we do.
We love that.
I just can't wait to be like Butch Patrick where I don't have to go on auditions. When I grow up.
That's actually kind of one of the reasons I got out of Hollywood in the first place.
Hey, Butch, I'm glad I'm talking.
I was wondering, I go, how many more? I mean, I had worked 11 years consistently. 4 series, you know, 17 movies, 75 guest stars. I mean, and I said, well, how long do I have to do this before I grow out of this child role situation and become an adult where they start mailing me scripts? That was one of the reasons I said, you know, this really isn't really a calling for me. And I was a working actor, but since I got tired of the audition process and going on cattle calls, I decided that, well, not quite cattle calls, but still going without getting a script mailed to me. And I just said, you know, I'd rather go to the beach and have fun.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I'm going to get. Listen, when I grow up, I want to be just like you.
Oh, you felt you paid your dues in the industry, right?
Yeah, that's true.
We all do.
Hey, Butch, I have a question. You know, I have a friend over at Home Shopping Network. I do the casting for, you know, help with Randy Jackson and Keith Urban and Joy Mangano. And if we can find a vent.
Is Costa still with Home Shopping?
I'm not sure. I work with an independent producer over there.
Okay.
But I'll know more next Wednesday on something. But I have an idea with your coffee. Do you want me to promote it over and see if we can get it on HSN with a vendor?
You can certainly inquire about it. I'm one of my friends who introduced me to Kevin Harrington actually does fulfillment for Home Shopping and QVC.
Okay.
And the deal with that is they require so much product to be in-house that a lot of times it's not physically feasible to just to satisfy what the requirements are. But yes, you can certainly inquire.
Okay, I'll hook you two up. You can talk to the producer. And I know I have one of my top reporters. She's from Orlando, and she's a huge fan of yours. And we're going to let you go in a second. And I know you said about 15 minutes, but you're such a documentary and such a great person to be on the air with. I know Alexia is on the air with us, and Alexia has a question for you, Butch. Alexia?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Take
How
us off
doing?
A speaker. Make sure we're not on speaker, please.
No, you're not.
Okay. So
Hi, Alexia.
Hello.
So what's your question to Butch Patrick that played Eddie Munster on The Munsters?
My question is, what was your favorite thing about filming the whole entire thing, the show?
What was my favorite question about being on the show?
Yes.
Well, as I stated in my book, Munster Memories, at the end of the book, we put it together, and everybody had their memories and their connection with the Munsters, and they came to me, and they go, you know, what is yours? And I go, well, what do you mean? They go, you know, what was your best thing about the Munsters? And I said, actually, the most interesting thing for me and the most fun wasn't so much being on the Munsters. That was my job. But when I wasn't on my job, then I could go explore Universal Studios. So for me, the best part about that two-year period was when I wasn't working, going around the greatest studio in the world and being able to poke my head in and sit down next to Paul Newman for lunch, or go see Charlton Heston on El Cid, or go see Albert Hitchcock, or, you know, go out to see a very young Tim Conway and Ernie Borgnine at the McHale's Navy lot and set. So that was, for me, that was the most interesting thing, was to go exploring the Universal lot on my free time.
Well, that seems like a lot of fun.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. I know we're so excited. Anybody else have a question? I know Butch didn't.
No, I don't have a question, but I, even though he was a mumster and all that, I thought he was so cute.
Yeah, it was an interesting.
I did so too. That's why when they call me Eddie Munster, I didn't take offense to it.
Well, Butch, I hope if you're ever in the Clearwater area and you're down here in Clearwater Beach, we would love to have you come over to the station and wrap a whole show around you.
Okay,
I think that would be awesome.
And we might be able to do that.
Hey, Butch, listen. I got to tell you something. If you need a driver, you call me. You get in touch with her, and you know they'll find me somewhere.
You know, we've been doing these drag race match races, recreating Hot Rod Herman's episode, and
you know, it's funny
Lila,
when you
Lila drives. She's going to drive the Munster coach. I drive the Dragula. But if we ever need a, we ever need a driver, I'll keep you in mind.
I'll tell you what. It's funny when I did my first movie back in the business down here about 2-3 years ago. I did Rogue Island. I played a like a mobster in a social club and owner and all that stuff. And we had a 78 Lincoln that one of the bosses was driving, you know, to a hit. He was going to do a hit, actually. And and I said to the guy that lent me the car, it was a friend of mine, 78 powder blue Lincoln carriage roof, gorgeous, Mark V, right?
It sounds like the one Al Lewis owned.
Yeah. And I said to him, I says, you know something? After this movie, down the road, I'm going to buy this car. Do you know something? I got the car outside.
You know, on parting, I'm going to tell you, you'll love this story. Did you know who owned Al Lewis's restaurant, Grandpa's, in Greenwich Village in New York?
No.
I heard about that.
John Gotti.
Wow.
Oh, wow. And I'm from New York, and I've been in there.
That's funny.
I've been down to Greenwich Village. I've been there.
Hey, real quick.
Yes, on Bleecker Street. Yes.
That's funny, because I was just talking to a friend, a big friend of mine. He's a big lawyer in Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
Andrew Levine. He's a big lawyer in Manhattan. I just got off the phone with him for about an hour ago, and he says, you know, Kenny, I said, where do you live, Andrew, anyway? He says, I live around the corner from John Gotti Jr. And he says his house is lit up like a Christmas tree.
All right, kid.
Butch, real quick, I have another gentleman here. He has nostalgic cars and radio, and his show is on in an hour. And he loves cars, and he loves the Munsters. And say hello to Butch Patrick.
Hey, Butch. Hey, we had the opportunity of meeting at Quaker Steak and Lube a few years ago. They had a couple of replica cars down there.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. So how you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Thank you.
Weren't you in the Tampa Bay area though? Don't you live around here? I'm kind of late in the conversation here, so kind of bring
the speed. St. Petersburg.
St. Pete Beach. I lived in Tierra Verde. I lived in Reddington. I lived in Mad Beach. I lived in Treasure Island, all over the place from 94 to 96. Then I came back and actually lived in Orlando in the year 2000 and places in between. So yeah, I've been around.
Cool. Well, we'll have to get you on our show sometime. We're every Tuesday night on the Tantalk Radio Network. It's called Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and it was good to say hi. And
send the information over, and we'll try to do that. Absolutely.
So, all right.
I mean, I'm in Florida for the next 3 months, so it shouldn't be a problem.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you can stop in the studio or something like that. But I was definitely a Munsters fan when I was a kid. I mean, that and the Addams Family, but I like the Munsters better, especially the theme song. I liked yours better.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Take care.
We'll cut you a deal. Wait a second, because you've had Jay Leno on your show, so we need Jay Leno on our show, too, because of how he started. So that's that's a deal.
All right. Hey, Butch, I got to tell you, this is Kenny here again. If you ever come over here to the Clearwater area, your wife and yourself, I have a condo that just sits there. It's a beautiful condo. It's empty. Be my guest. It's yours.
Appreciate it, Kenny.
Oh, very wonderful.
Very thank you.
Okay, now you're going to add that in. I'm going to add in, Butch, if you and your wife would like to go on a sailboat ride, we have a 37-foot.
Yes.
we'll put it all sailboat. Together.
Sailboat, yes.
Uh-huh, we have then you can stop at the condo.
Yes, we have
a sailboat. Nice. I appreciate that. It sounds great.
Yeah, you go.
Try to make that happen.
Sounds good, Butch.
So
okay.
Nice talking to you.
And Chris, my engineer, any last words to Butch Patrick from the Munsters? Say hello. He's an amazing engineer as well.
How are we doing, Butch? I can remember being a kid and watching the Munsters, but I don't. It's so hard. It's so long ago for me that
he's so young. But we want to say hello to you.
I appreciate it all, guys. Thank you, guys and gals. You have a great time and have a wonderful holiday.
You too.
Awesome.
You too.
Thank you.
You too, Butch.
Okay, bye. Butch. I'll see you next week in Clearwater.
Sounds good.
Okay.
That was Butch Patrick from the Munsters of Munsters.com, and we were super excited. Wasn't that fun?
Really fun.
Oh,
yes.
I know.
Wasn't that great?
I know.
And reminiscing. That's
The nostalgia
yes,
part.
It was beautiful.
And how the Munsters is still living stronger today than it probably was then.
I know.
Really? You think so?
Yeah. I watch it every night. 50 years later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it. I love them.
Yeah. I love the game in Vegas. If you've never played
Yvonne
it.
I love DiCarlo. She was.
You get to pick the things and the puzzles and my God.
That's amazing.
I've never been to Las Vegas.
We've got to go for my next anniversary here.
I'll
our first one.
Need to go.
Perfect. Now, Chris, I know we still have Marty on the line. Okay, Marty's not there? Did we lose him? Okay, do we have anybody on the line? Not yet? Okay, we'll have to. Marty was going to call in and talk. Let me call Marty back and try to get him back on. I don't know what happened. Is Alexi still there? No, nobody's there. Okay, well, at least we're pre-taping the show. We can cut that, right?
Everybody left us?
Everybody.
No,
Marty,
here.
We need you to call back. We don't know what happened to Marty.
Are you out there?
What about their project?
Oh, yeah. So in the meantime, I know I have another surprise calling in just a minute. Rose is going to call in. I have a surprise for you.
Okay.
That's a call. Let's see who's calling. And let's talk about what you're going to be doing. You've got something exciting you want to add.
On December 10th, we have...
Wait, you need the microphone.
December 10th, we have the fan event from General Hospital. It's going to be William DeVry, who plays Julian, Donald Turner, who plays Curtis, and Ryan Peavy, who plays Nathan. It's Saturday, December 10th. It's going to be at the Feathersound Country Club. And if you'd like to buy tickets, you can go to soapthis.ticketleap.com. We're having a platinum meet and greet, which is going to be from 3 to 6. There's a photo shoot involved in that. We have just a regular general admission meet and greet. We also have a cocktail party in the evening from 8 to 10. And it's a very hands-on experience with all three guys. We do have a photographer there to take professional photos, but we also have you can also take pictures with your camera and just stand next to them, put your arm around them, and chit chat with them for a few minutes. And we've got a special thing going right now where if you do want to come to the event, and if you mention WTAN radio. When you call this number, 727-210-5143, and you mention WTAN radio, your name will go into a drawing where you can win a video chat with all three actors. It'll be about 10, 15 minutes, and you just sit down on the couch with them and just have a conversation. You can ask them anything you like, and you also get a copy of the DVD.
Ooh, and your commercial's been running. I've been hearing it during the
week. Yes, and Dawn, thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
You have been, I mean, you were even on your sailboat and just plugging away.
Yeah.
I love it.
No problem.
She's a winner.
Yes, she is.
In the meantime, we're going to go to Marty in a second, but I have a surprise. We have Rose on the phone. She is with the Miss Senior pageant. She's got something exciting to talk about. Rose, are you there? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Rose.
I want to thank my dear friends in South Florida. And Rose, tell us about your pageant system.
Well, it is called the Miss Senior Florida pageant. And it's not a new pageant. It's been held up in the Vero Beach area for maybe the past 6 years. But next year in August, it's going to be held in the South Florida area. And we're real excited about that. In that it's going to add to the diversity and well-being of so many more seniors.
How old do you have to be to join?
You have to be at least 60 years old to be a contestant. And whoever wins the Miss Senior Florida goes on to represent the state of Florida in the national Miss Senior America pageant, which is about 36, 38 years old, in Atlantic City. Mm-hmm.
And I heard you were talking about the talent is amazing. I mean, that you have performing.
Oh, the talent is amazing. I just came from the Nationals a couple weeks ago in October, and there were 48 states represented, and the talent was so amazing. The you know, everyone has their own idea of who the winner should be, and I felt as though it should have been Miss Alabama. She, she had to be in her 60s or above. I don't know how old she was, but she did a flawless ballet on point. It was just absolutely wonderful. And a body to die for.
So whoever does get into the pageant, you do have to have some type of talent outside of looking great. You have to either sing or dance or play piano or something on that order.
Yes, but there is every individual is the judging is not in a comparison type of thing. You are judged according to you as an individual. And a lot of people get a little discouraged, you know, they say, well, there's a talent, because there is four different categories of which you'll be judged. It's the evening gown presentation. You have 45 seconds to give your philosophy of life. There's the judge's interview, and then the talent. So there's four different categories. And the talent doesn't necessarily have to be singing or dancing. Maybe you're an artist. Well, there's a big life-size screen behind you, and you're able to display your art and, and talk about it. Maybe you're real crafty. Well, you're able to show that. Maybe you are a comedian. There will be a talent director as well as mm-hmm. a musical director that's a part of the pageant that'll help guide you along as to what would be the best talent for you. I can remember here in the local pageant, the Miss Senior Florida pageant, there was one lady that just insisted on singing a particular song, and the talent director told her, you know, I really think, you know, you would be better if you chose another song. It wasn't that she couldn't sing. That was a very difficult song for mm-hmm. her, for anyone to sing. And but she, you know, there'll be people there to guide you to. It's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful event. It's entertaining.
And where is it going to be held?
It's going to be held. Well, the date we know is August the 5th.
So you both have a year to get ready.
Right. Well, not really, because I'm having a senior moment right now.
Okay. How can someone get in touch with you?
We'll be looking for contestants in April, begin in April, because June, we'll begin the rehearsals and the orientation, and there should be about 6 of those. So everyone will have to have registered to be a contestant.
Now,
around April.
Rose, real quick question I have for you. Do they all get sashes for their city or their county, or is it something that they'll be competing for Florida? That was a question.
Oh, well, this is the problem. When it was in Vero Beach, it really was not on a wide scale. It just wasn't done wide scale, and most people had never. I know everyone I come in contact with in the Dade and Broward area, they never heard of it. So there was not really an opportunity for there to be, pageants in every county. We're hoping that it will come to that. Then they would have a sash representing whatever city they were from. But since there are no other pageants in Florida, that will not happen.
We're just wondering. And then what we need you to do is give your phone number. We want to thank you so much for calling in. And because we actually have a top 8. Actually, Marty, are you still there? Marty?
Of course I'm here.
Hey, this is a lady now. He's going to come on. He's a top agent casting director in your area. He would be a great judge. How would you like to judge? Maybe that could be a good connection for you two.
Wonderful. Put me in touch with him.
He's right there. He's on the air with you right now. Marty, say hi.
Hello.
Hi, Marty.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear the conversation because you guys were speaking via phone, so I couldn't really hear the conversation well. But where is this event taking place?
Next year, but it's the Miss Senior Florida pageant, and ladies from 60 above. But you know what? You could give. There is a whole casting for you. You know, because of movies that come in for all different ages.
Oh, I would love to. Yeah, definitely. If you can give my information, I would definitely be interested. Absolutely.
Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me give you the phone number. The office number is 305-999-1817. 305-999-1817, Miss Senior Florida Pageant.
Awesome. Okay.
Well, and who do I speak with?
Ask for Rose.
Rose, got you.
Mm-hmm.
Got you.
Okay.
All right, Rose, thank you so much for calling in and talking about your pageant system. And next up on the air, and we want to thank you for calling in. And also ask, Marty's going to be on. Yes, he's staying on with us.
Okay.
Okay, Rose, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate your call in.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Rose.
Have a good holiday.
So Marty's on. And Marty, you know, we have an event, Ingrid's here talking about General Hospital, and she wants to say hello to you. She only came in also to promote her event. We're excited. But
and you, yes, and when I spoke with you on the phone last week or a week and a half ago, you had mentioned that you were on General Hospital for about 6 months, which when I told Dawn that, she went, oh, really?
Oh, me?
Well, that was a secret that you were keeping from her, or?
Oh, no, Marty is an actor, so I don't even know his list of, I mean, he has so many.
No. I was on Guiding Light.
Oh, it was Guiding Light. Oh, I thought it was General Hospital. Well.
No, not General. Yeah, Guiding Light, unfortunately, is no longer on the air.
I know. That was one of the first ones canceled, actually.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yes, it was around for a long time. Really, lots of great actors on there, too. But it's sad, even though I was more of a All My Children Would Like to Live General Hospital fan, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've had a lot of stars from all those shows, but, you know, you're still invited to come to December 10th if you want to come over and, you know, join the event.
Stay at the condo. Oh, thank you.
Oh, and again, I'll tell you, this condo is getting around.
It's going to be crowded.
I see a lot of action.
It's going to be crowded.
You know, I'm feeling very thankful right now. I'm getting propositions. I was like, Butch is getting all the propositions. Now I'm getting propositions. So now I'm feeling better.
Hey, Marty. Marty, I want to say hi to you. This is Yvonne.
Oh, I missed you, Yvonne. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So Marty's going to talk about something for talent. I know, Bobby, we're pre-taping this segment. So we have about 10, 15 minutes left. We're good, Marty. So you wanted to talk about something with auditions, video auditions?
Yes. Okay. Today we're going to talk about acting demo reels. Acting demo reels are very important. That's going to help you to be seen by casting directors. Sometimes these big wig casting directors, they want to see headshots, resumes, and a nice demo reel. This is particularly true when you're trying for pilot season, for leads on a TV series or nice role. So in your demo reel, you should include your headshot with your contact info right before it goes into your body of work. If you're a beginning actor, it should be minimal 30 seconds, believe it or not. And if you're a working actor but you're not famous, should be no more than 1 minute at 30 seconds. So 90 seconds should be top. You don't want to bore them. If it's too long and dragged out, they're going to just not even bother watching it anymore.
Exactly.
If you're a big celebrity, it should be anywhere between 5 to 7 minutes, obviously because you're famous. So you have a big body of work. People know of your work. So like Samuel L. Jackson or Angelina Jolie, it's expected to have a demo reel anywhere from 3 to 7 minutes. Now, when you do your demo reel, you want to make sure that you have professional scenes incorporated in your demo reel, okay? Very important. If things look subpar and looks very low, you know, the definition is really low definition, it's not high definition, and it looks very amateurish, they will not take it seriously. So there's lots of student films. If you want to break in, there's lots of talented student filmmakers out there looking to get actors on. Great way to get your footage in for your demo reel. Make sure you put your best scene or performance first. Everyone thinks that you save the best for last. Not the case with demo reels. You want to have your best scene first, because if it captivates the cast director, producer, chances are it's going to work in your favor.
Marty.
Then of course.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish. Go ahead.
Okay, and also try to make sure when you have the scenes, if you're doing a scene with someone, try not to have the person overshadow your performance. Remember, this is showcasing you as an actor, actress. So it should be about you. Unfortunately, in this case, it's all about you. It is. Another thing that's very important is when you have your demo reel, do not mix your TV film demo reel with your commercial. They should be separate. Okay, so you should have your commercial demo reel should be separate from your TV film. I've seen many times here in South Florida, a lot of talent are immersing their commercial work in their TV film, and that's a big no-no.
What about YouTube clips? If somebody uploads it to YouTube, is that still what you consider a good video if it's professional?
No, a YouTube is a link. A demo reel is a video showcasing your work. If you send a YouTube link, they're going to laugh it off and say, what is this?
I'm making sure, because some people may do that. And just to clarify that.
Yes.
Well, when you're dealing with big wig, like cast directors, they expect things to be up to par. You know, it has to be very professional. So, like in L.A., depending on what the demographic is for the show, That's where you want to showcase yourself. They need to be able to see you a part of their show. So let's say if you wanted to go out for The Walking Dead, right? And your demo reel has something where it showcases you doing horror stuff, okay? And drama, because The Walking Dead is a dramatic horror show. You want to have clips in there that showcases that. If you want to get on Empire, the TV show Empire is very dramatic. You want to have dramatic scenes there that showcase that. If you want to get into a comedy, a comedic show, same thing. You know, you have to have something that showcases that you're funny. That's what your demo reel should consist of. Okay? Here in South Florida, things are a little different. Over here, you know, there is no pilot season. So you can immerse your dramatic and your comedic work into your demo reel. That's fine. It actually shows versatility. But when you're in LA, you should have several types of demo reels. You should have a demo reel when you're pitching for an agent, which is longer. In this case, your demo reel should be longer because you want them to represent you. You want them to give you the time of day. And you should have one for, of course, the cast directors.
Okay, Marty, I know we have about 3 minutes left, and this is such really good information.
I was going to ask him if he could call back next week.
Yes.
And continue this conversation.
And I just have one quick question. We're in the process of putting... I did send you something from Kenny, but I'm not sure if you got it or not, but... Let me ask you something about language. When, you know, some of the things he's done have been, you know, they're mostly mobsters or cops or DEA agents. So the language is not, you know, it's X-rated basically. And when it comes to some of the best scenes are with that language. So how do you, that's probably not a good idea, right? I mean.
No. Remember, these are professionals. If they were to do a modern day Sopranos, they're not going to look for someone that's going to be speaking PG. They expect those F bombs in there.
Okay.
So if you are a real mobster, you know, I actually had cast and I ended up directing several scenes for a mobster movie. And the problem I had with the other director was that he wanted to keep things very clean cut, and you can't. It's a mobster movie.
Okay.
So if you got mobster scenes and it has F words, it's acceptable.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we don't have to worry about that. Okay.
Right. So,
well, Marty, please call back next week and continue this conversation.
Yes.
We only have about 2 minutes left.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And the best way to send
callers call in too. I would love them to call in because there's a lot more to talk about in terms of the acting demo reel.
Yes.
Yes.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And the best way to send it, on, you know, with we'll tell all of that next week. And Marty, we just want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Everybody out there, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and again, Marty, this is Kenny here. I don't want to bring it up, but I'm sorry about your animal. We're with you, Kenny.
Yes,
I know what it's like.
We are.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so our blessings are with you, really, because I know what that's like. I just lost 3-4 animals in the last year or two, so...
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Well,
yeah.
I just
looking
want,
forward
well, I
hearing
want to say
from
thank you.
You
to Dawn, Yvonne, the rest of the crew at Tan Talk for always having me every week to reach out to South Florida talent. I really appreciate it. And I'm wishing everyone a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
Yes, you too. And make it a memory maker with your families this year, you know, and that's what's important. God bless. Remember, give it to God. Watch things happen. I'll go to the second hour here. We'll see you soon. Next week.
Bye.
Next hour.
We love you, Marty.
Okay.